morning, everybody. It's Emily here from the Willow Pod, and I've got Skye with me as well.
Hi, everyone.
So this morning, we have been tasked to do a podcast about the differences between rural and urban domestic abuse. What's different about rural domestic abuse? Because as some of you might know, we do deliver some awareness training on this topic. So we're just going to have a little chat, which will hopefully explain to you why rural domestic abuse is so different. So Skye's put a few questions together.
Yes, my first one was going to be, what do you think one of the main issues is with rural domestic abuse as opposed to urban domestic abuse?
So that is a really good question. Like Skye also, I've lived in the same place my entire life, considerably longer than Skye, but I've lived in the same town, I've lived in the same house my entire life. My family were a well-known family within the town where we lived. My grandparents were really well-known. They had a shop in the town centre. And then I used to run a pub as well in the town. So consequently, I knew everyone. Everyone knew me because they all knew my family, which on the surface sounds really nice. You know, it is. Yeah. It can be really nice. It can be really reassuring. But on the flip side, it meant that when I was a victim of an abusive relationship, I didn't really have anywhere to turn to. I didn't have people I could speak to because of the shame and the embarrassment I felt, the embarrassment that I felt I would cause my family when I spoke about this situation. And it even came down to like the doctor's surgery. Yeah. Even now, one of the doctors, he's been my doctor since I was a tiny little girl. So, you know, even that is really embarrassing. I didn't feel I could go and talk to anyone in the doctors. Yeah, it was really, really hard.
Yeah, it's almost as if everyone knows everyone's business as well. And there is no one really else that you can turn to because everyone knows everyone else's business.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like you say about everyone knowing everyone's business, part of me thought, crikey, people must know this is going on, actually. So why isn't someone helping? Why is no one stepping in? I can remember thinking that because of the way things manifested themselves. I thought, surely people must know this is going on, but no one's stepping in. So obviously I deserve it, was another thought that went through my head. So
I feel like it's also a lot of people who live or come from rural areas, they're in almost like a different world to people living in urban areas. It's almost like an old-fashioned way of thinking and living. So even if they did know or think that something was wrong, they would never say anything because they think, well, that's not my business. They would think, well, that's their problem. Well, not their problem, but that's not my business. That's their family issue.
Absolutely. And like you say, the traditional values of marriage. Not that people living in towns and cities don't have traditional values by any means, but you know, there's that sense of community and just everybody, wide families that have all stayed in the same place. You know, it just seems harder to split those families up if people were to get a divorce. Another thing, whilst we're just talking about living in the same place, is, like I said, I've lived in the same house my entire life. Now, so just imagine if I was living on a farm or in a house that had maybe been in the family for several generations, you know, like in some of our stately homes that we've got with the estates, like the Chatsworth estate and the Hardwick estate. So again, there you've got families that have lived in the same house for generations, and farms that have been in the same family for generations. So whether it's a man or a woman who's the victim of the abusive relationship, what if it's their family home that they're being expected to leave, and it's not just been in the family for one generation, it's been in the family for five or six generations, you know? Yeah. And you're asking them to walk away from all that. That's incredibly hard because it's not just bricks and mortar. There's very much a feeling that you're letting your heritage down, you're letting your your ancestors down in a way. It's more than just bricks and mortar.
Which then adds to the whole reason, like the reason, the barriers to leaving. It's not just, oh, you're worried about talking to people because it's like the you're worried about putting shame on your family and everything. It's adding another thing to that,
guilt.
Making it even harder. Yeah.
Yeah, guilt that you're letting your whole you're destroying your heritage essentially.
Yeah, but then also like the sadness to somebody that. It's like almost like a heartbreak almost if you have to leave that place that you've always lived. It's got all your happy memories, your childhood memories, all of that. You're sort of just leaving it all behind. Like people say that it can be really emotional if you choose to move house and you've spent that massive chunk of time in that house. Now then if you have no choice, that's literally been told to you have to go almost. That you've got no choice in the matter, it's going to be even harder because it's not your
Absolutely.
Choice almost.
Absolutely. It's not a nice thought. I told my husband, my husband who wasn't part of the abusive relationship before, if we divorce, he's going. It's my house.
So George, you're not losing it.
No, I'm not. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. So I mean, another thing with rural areas is they are pretty spread out, aren't they? You know, they're geographically isolated.
Yes, especially if you live on a farm that's up a long track, and yeah, you might have a couple of neighbours, but I know like where I live, for example, it's in a hamlet, and yeah, we've got like not towns but like small villages near us, and yeah, there are like five houses where we live, but we never see our neighbours really.
No.
And they're not the type of neighbours that we really talk to very much.
No.
So even if there was something happening, then you are isolated still and you're not even that far away. But you imagine if, say, you live, or the first example that comes to my head is like if you live in Scotland or out in like the Hebrides or wherever it is, and you're miles and miles away from
Absolutely.
Anyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But we see it in, I mean, I know I drive around the High Peak a lot, and you see those houses that are literally up a drive that's like 3 or 4 miles long. They're stuck out in the middle of a load of fields. I mean, what happens if there's a, you know, an abusive relationship in one of those houses? How do people hear? It's not like in the city where you can, if you're in a row of semi-detached houses or terraced houses, you are more likely to hear your neighbours having an argument, doors slamming, shouting.
Yeah,
you know.
And then it's also like the escaping almost is like if you do, if something happens and you decide, oh, I'm going to run, I'm going to leave, you've got a blimmin' long way to go.
Exactly, yeah. I'd manage about half a mile down the road. And if you've got kids as well or a small child and you're trying to literally run down a 3 mile drive, it's a long way. You're going to only be able to take the clothes that you're wearing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And also considering that, the geographical isolation, we know that the police force is really depleted in numbers at the moment. And alongside with that, you've got to consider that it can take the police 15, 20, even possibly more minutes to get to a house if it's very rurally isolated. And by that time, the perpetrator could have had a chance to convince the victim not to say anything, to retract what they were going to say it was just an accident. They didn't need the police intervention.
And perhaps not even that, maybe it, like worst case scenario and unbearable to think about really. But if it's like a physical abusive or even more than that, it could be like coercive and controlling relationship, that person could have been killed in that amount of time. And I know that is literally worst case scenario, but
it does happen. It does happen.
It's the difference that like 5 minutes to 15 minutes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is really the big difference between living in an urban area or a rural area is the amount of time it takes the services to get to you. I remember there was looking at a website probably a few months ago. I don't think it was the police. I think it was ambulance time that it takes to get to you. And I remember putting my postcode in, and I think it was something like 18 minutes. It might have been less than that, but it was over 10 minutes, which
Crikey.
is really It is quite a long time. And my uncle lives on the outskirts of London, so he lives near Richmond, and I put his postcode in and it's like 5 minutes. I mean, I know it's like London, so it's a bit different, but it just shows the
It does
time
show.
difference. And it's not necessarily as well that the numbers aren't as high, say example with the police, but it's also the amount of time it takes that person to get from the station to you,
Yeah.
because if you're in somewhere a more urban area, there's likely to be a station a lot closer to you, or
Yeah.
more stations.
But yeah, there's all those things to consider, and just generally the windy roads we've got around here. But
Yeah, you can't go blasting around those corners.
No. You're likely to end up stuck behind a tractor or something with a muck spreader on the back.
Or stuck in the hedge, one of the
Well, yes,
two.
absolutely. Yeah, my sort of last thing that I wanted to consider today was also, you probably wouldn't believe it, some of the listeners might not believe it, but we've still got some really dodgy phone signal in Derbyshire.
Oh
In
yeah, I'm one
yeah.
of those people. Yeah, I've got really bad phone signal. It's only been in the past year, I'd say, that our internet as well has got a little bit better.
Yeah.
But as soon as we live in a big old stone cottage, so the walls are really thick.
Yeah.
Now, as soon as you're outside the house, the signal's a lot better. But as soon as you go inside the house, that's it. Your signal just really goes down because it doesn't travel through the walls.
No. And again, if you're wanting to escape from a situation, you're not going to be allowed to go outside. I'm just going to go outside to make a phone call. Well, no, you're
Yeah.
not, because your perpetrator wouldn't be able to hear what you're saying. They don't have any control over you. So,
Yeah, and I guess that's the issue as well, is there are a lot of there's a lot of online help out there available to people. Like, you can chat to people online to try and get that help, but if you've not got the internet or good enough internet to do that, then, or especially if it's very slow as well, you could be waiting ages for that page to load, whereas people in a more urban area, it's like instant that that page loads.
And it's, again, it's just one of those little things that doesn't occur to some people, that these are the problems people deal with in your more rural areas. As I say, like lack of internet signal, lack of phone signal is just another thing that we have to think about when we're trying to make sure victims can get help.
It really does make you think that that's only like a few of the differences that makes it a lot more difficult for people living in rural areas to get the help as opposed to urban. That list could just go on and on.
On.
There's so many things that we could discuss that could stop people from getting help, or mean that it takes people a lot longer to get the help.
Yeah, it takes people in rural areas 25% longer, doesn't it, to get the help they need,
Yeah.
which means that there's a bigger potential for the abuse to become more serious because they're
Yes.
in that situation for longer. So, yeah, if anybody wants to learn more about the challenges of rural domestic abuse, they can always read Captive and Controlled, which was produced by the National Rural Crime Network. Just type in captive and controlled, and it's I think it's an 85-page document. So,
Yes, and
I think
also if any of you are listening haven't yet been on our training, we have actually just released a year's worth of new training dates, which is free for people living or working in Derbyshire. And we've finally got dates out for people from outside of Derbyshire. So if you haven't yet come on our training, make sure you book on.
get signed up. Yes,
Yes.
absolutely. So we'll sign off for today because we don't want to bore you to death with the long podcast. And just keep listening to the Willow Pod throughout the 16 days of activism. We've got a few different podcasts for you to listen to.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.